The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parashas, Parashas Vayakel. In Pasuk Dalet, at the beginning of the Sedra, Vayemem Meshel HaKol Adas B'nei Yisrael Le'mor. Meshe said to the entire congregation of Israel, saying, Zeh HaDovar Asher Tziva Hashem Le'mor. This is what Hashem has commanded. He's coming back to Klal Yisrael and to instruct them in the building of the Mishkon, the building of the sanctuary. Kechum Yitchem Truma L'Hashem Kol Nadiv Liboy Yivi Eho Eis Trumas Hashem. The Almighty said, take from you Truma, contributions, upliftings to Hashem. Kol Nadiv Liboy, everyone whose heart uplifts him to contribute, should bring Trumas Hashem, should bring his contributions to Hashem. Zov, Chesiv, and Nechoshes. Should bring from the gold, from the silver, from the copper. These are of the materials which were necessitated for the building of the Mishkon. Scheles, Vargoman, Veselashoni, Vesheish, Veizim. The different types of wools, the blue wool, the purple wool, scarlet, the linen, the goat's hair, Eiris Eilim, Ma'adomim, Eiris Techoshim, Vatzeshitim, the various skins, the cedar wood, Shemen Lama'or, Ubsamim Leshemen Amishcho, the various types of oils, Velikteiris Hasamim, and the incense, Vavne Shehem, Vavne Meluim, Laifid, Velacheshen, and all of the precious stones. V'chol Chacham Leiv Bochem Yavol V'yasu Eis Kol Asher Tziva Hashem. And all of you who have wisdom in your hearts, come and help to participate in the building of the Mishkan. And then he elaborates the Mishkan, the Ohel, all of the different parts of the Mishkan. Then in Posuk Chof, it states, Vayetzu kol adas b'nei Yisrael milifnei Moshem. So everyone heard the instructions. They heard the tzivui. So they went out. Vayavou kol ish asher neso libay. And every person whose heart uplifted him. V'chol asher nodvo ruchay eisoy. And every person whose spirit inspired him to contribute. Heviyu es trumas Hashem lemleches ayil maid. Brought his offerings, his contributions to the work of the Mishkan. For all of the avoda and the big day hakodesh and the garments of the kohen. Then it states that the men came together with the women. All of those whose hearts caused them to contribute, and they brought choch, nezim, tabas, chumas, kol klizov, all types of gold, golden ornaments, and other types of ornaments. V'chol isha shenimtzi teitcheles v'ragomon v'selasheni, and all of those who had the various types of materials and woolens that were necessary and skins, heviyu, they brought. And those that had silver and copper brought trumas Hashem, and those that had the wood brought it. And the women that knew how to weave and sew, they brought and they did the work. And all of the women whose hearts uplifted them, they came and they wove the goat's hair. Banasim and the leaders of each tribe, the princes, they brought the precious stones for the gown of the Kohen Gadol and for the breastplate. Kol ish vi isha asher nodav libom aysom lohavi lechol amalocha asher tzivo Hashem lasis biyad Moshe heviu b'nei Yisrael nedovel Hashem. Every man and woman whose hearts caused them, inspired them to give, they brought all that was necessary for the work of the Mishkan. Then Torah tells us a little later that Moshe took all of this and he gave it to the workers. In Pasuk Gimel, it states, "Vayikhu milifnei Moshe, is kol ha-truma asher hiviu b'nei Yisrael melechas avedis ha-kedish las Yisrael. It was taken from before Moshe, all of these materials, in order to from it shall be constructed the various necessities of the Mishkan. People continued to bring. Every morning they brought more. They brought more gold and they brought more silver and more copper and more skins and so forth. And all of the wise people and skilled workers that were doing the work, they came, each one from his own work. And they said to Moshe, saying, "Marbi ma'om lohovi, the people are bringing too much. Midei ha'aveid elam locha shetziv Hashem lasi seiso. Too much. We have too many materials, too much of each kind for the work which we were commanded to do. So veitzav Moshe. So it was necessary now for Moshe to command vayaviru kol b'machane, and to give out a proclamation in the camp, Leimor, Ish v'isha al yasu od maloch l'shrumas hakodesh. Then no man or woman shall bring anything more for the Mishkan. Vayikolei ha'om mehavi. So therefore the nation stopped bringing. V'amaloch ha'isodayim l'chol ha'maloch l'ashi sheso v'heiser. And all that was necessary for the Mishkan was there, v'hoser, and it was too much. So here we see that the Mishkan called upon great material contributions. And the people were asked, and they responded. And not that they responded partially, and not that they responded fully, but they over-responded to the point where the workers, the skilled artisans came to Moshe and said, "The people are bringing every day, we don't know what to do with it, it's too much. It's too much gold and silver and so forth." So Moshe had to command the people, saying, "Ish v'isha al yasu od maloch l'srumas hakodesh. No man or woman must bring any more, because there's enough." And at the end, there was enough, as I said, and it was already too much. So here we have a very great illustration of the great power of Klal Yisrael when it comes, the power of Hanasino when it comes to giving. When it comes to giving, to give where it's needed, you see the great power and the response of Klal Yisrael. As it happens this week also, is Parshas Shkolim, 4 weeks before Pesach. Or, it's not exactly 4 weeks, but four of the weeks before Pesach are set aside to lay in special parshas in addition to the regular parsha of the Shabbos. And the first one is this coming Shabbos, which is Parshas Shkolim, which is taken from last week's Sedra. And that also deals with when Klal Yisrael were called on to give Machzis HaShekel. Actually, they gave three times the Machzis HaShekel, a half of a silver coin, also which was necessary for the Mishkan, for the sanctuary. Because we have the subject matter, let's spend this evening going into the mitzvah of Tzedakah and Gemilas Chasadim. Now, if you noticed, when we were reading these psukim, many times over, it is stated, not voruchai, or not volibon, or noso libon. It states whose heart inspired them to contribute, or whose spirit uplifted them, or whose heart uplifted them. Nediva slave and nesias ruchai. Why is that? Because the source of giving tzedakah, giving charity, of doing kindliness, acts of kindliness for others that are in need, this comes from the nefesh ha'odom. It comes from the life spark that's in man. When a person learns Torah, that's a power of the intellectual man. It's a power of the seichel. But when a person does gemilas chesed, This comes, the motivating force is the nefesh odom, the life spark in a person, the spirit of man. And the central focal point of the life of man, which he was given, is the heart. And this is why by Tztoka and Gemilas Chesed, there must be constantly not volibri. A person's heart must be in it. It's his heart that motivates him to help others. If we go a little deeper into this, this is the Mido of Ava, the quality of love. Love comes from the heart. What motivates a person to give from himself to someone else? It's the Keach Ava, the power of love. The power of love and the power of compassion. Torah tells us that when you see someone who's in need, you should be merachim on him. You should have compassion for him. Compassion is an emotion of the heart. Or states that you should ochichohu, ki ochichohu. In the parshas of Tztoka and parshas Re'eh, it states ki ochichohu because he is your brother. Consistently, it says he's your brother. What does the Torah mean to teach? Because kol Yisrael are brothers. Since he's a brother to you, then you must have compassion towards him. You must have love towards him. Therefore, you must help him. So the motivation to help those in need doesn't come from the intellectual odom. It comes from the avo, the love of the nefesh, of the spark of life that's in the person, that comes from the heart. This is why we find that who was the pillar of this great mitzvah? Avraham Avinu. The Amud HaChesed, the pillar of Chesed, of doing good for others, the sages teach us, came from Avraham Avinu. He was the one who taught the world this quality. The sages also tell us that Avraham was the Mido of Ava. He was the quality of love. He had a tremendous, all-encompassing love for people. Where he wanted to do good for them. He wanted to bring them close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He wanted to teach them Torah. But it was motivated by Ava. Therefore, when it comes to the mitzvah of Gemilas Chesed, or the mitzvah of Tztoka, this is a mitzvah which must be done with Ava. And therefore, consistently, it states in these psukim, Nedivas Liboy, not the Liboy, whose heart has inspired him to contribute. Or not the Ruchai, whose spirit has inspired him to give. This means a person who has a good heart, he's a person that's always helping others and giving to others. A person that has not the power to give of his own to others, then the lack is in the heart. His heart is not there, he does not have that quality of the lev which inspires him to do so, which inspires him to part from what's his own and share with others. That's one point that we see from these psukim. A second point that we see from these psukim is that when Tztoka is given, it must be done with a tremendous zizus. It must be done with a zeal. It cannot be done with an atzlus, with a sluggishness, with a slowness. Where do we see this? Because it states in the psukim we read in Pasuk Chof Zayin, V'anasim heviu es avnei Hashem ve'es avnei Amiluim. The princes, the leaders of every shevet, of every tribe, they brought the precious stones which were needed for the Mishkan and the Kain Godel. Le'efer v'lachesh. The word Nosi is missing a letter in the Sefer Torah. The Yud is taken out. Nosi should be Nun, Sin, Yud Aleph, and the Yud is missing. So the Chazal asked, why is it missing? One question they ask. A second question they ask is, here we see they brought the last things. All of the other things I mentioned first. Finally, the last things that I mentioned are those things that the Nesi'im brought. When it came to the dedication of the Mishkan, when sacrifices were brought and also new vessels were brought, There Nassim came first. Why there did they go first and here last? So Rashi brings Omer Ibn Nosson, Maro Nassim Niznadim Bechanukah Zav Mizbeach Betchilo Melechaz HaMishkan Lein Niznadvu Betchilo Elakach Omeru Nassim. Because when they heard this command from Asher of the great needs and the great wealth that will have to be raised for the Mishkan, they said as follows, Isnadvu Tzibur Mashim Isnadvin. Since we're the leaders, so let the whole tzibur, let the whole congregation bring whatever they can bring. And we'll underwrite it. We'll be the guarantors. Whatever's lacking, we will fill in. This is what they said. They felt we're responsible to underwrite the whole program. Now, that seems to be a very good calculation. You give whatever you can afford to give. And whatever's lacking, I'll give. Kiven sheishlim et tzibur esakol, shenama v'amalocha yisudayom, when the tzibur finished bringing what they wanted to bring, there was nothing else left to bring. Omru nesim ma oleinu la'asos, so the nesim said, so what can we do? Hevius avnei ashohim, so they were only left able to bring the last few things that were still missing. When it came to the Chanukah HaMizbeach, the dedication of the Mishkan, there hisnadvu b'chanukah HaMizbeach tchilo. And there they said, no, we won't let that happen again. We'll give first. All right. We could leave it at that. But the Torah didn't leave it at that. It states, Lefish nisatzlu mitchilo, because they came with a sluggishness, with a slowness in the beginning. Nechsra es mishmom. Kodesh Baruch Hu took a letter out of their name. Banasim ksiv, and it's written nosi, without a yud. He removed the letter yud from their name in the Sefer Torah. So it wasn't only a miscalculation that nothing was left for them to bring. But you see that this calculation did not at all find favor in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he punished them by taking the yud out of their name in the Sefer Torah. Why? What was wrong? It's a very good calculation. You give whatever you can afford to give. And what's lacking, come to me and I'll take care of it. That's a good calculation. We've gone into this in the past at length. But at this point, I just want to bring one observation from this. That's a good calculation. But tzedakah must be given with a zrizus, with a zeal. When there's a need, you must respond immediately. Not with a calculation, not with a cheshbon, not by waiting. You must respond immediately. Why is this? The reason is very obvious. Because if tzedakah and gemilas chesed comes from the midah of ahava, it comes from the quality of love. Gemara tells us ahava may be early days rizus. Ahava brings rizus. Ahava creates zeal. When you have a love for something, you don't wait. You do it immediately. And this we see by Avraham Avinu. It states ahava mekalkeles es hashura. A great love does away with all types of calculations. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham to go and sacrifice his son, it says, Vayash came Avraham Baboker, and next morning he was up at the crack of dawn, ready to do it. The Chazal asked, what was the great rush? He's going to sacrifice his son, what's the great rush? Ahava mekalkeles es hashura. Because Avraham had such great love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu and for his sivui, that he saw no other calculations. And immediately he couldn't wait to start the mitzvah, even though it was a mitzvah of sacrificing his own son. And that's why the Gemara says, Ava, maybe only there's rizus. If there's an Ava, then it must be done immediately. It motivates the person. The greatest motivator in the person, sages tell us, is the nefesh. See? Is this life in a man. That's the motivator. If there was nefesh, if there was life, if there was love in this mitzvah, the Nassim wouldn't have waited. Immediately they would have given. They would have been in the first ones, on the front line, not waiting. From the fact that they waited, and they sat back, and they said, let everybody else do it, and what's missing we'll bring, that's a sign that it wasn't not volimum. It's a sign that it wasn't nosoi ruchai, that they did not have their heart and soul in it. So there HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw lefish nis'atzlu, that there was an atzlus there was a lack of zrizus. Therefore, he took his letter out. He took the letter out of his name, out of their name. Which letter did he take? The yud, because the yud, that's the letter of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. That's a letter which is completely free from the physical world, which causes an atzlus, which causes a sluggishness. So there's more to say on this, but from here we see that when it comes to mitzvah tztoko, firstly there must be lev, there must be heart in it, there must be avo. And if there's lev and avo in it, then there has to be immediate response with a great strength, a great koyach, and a great zeal. And this was the shortcoming in the Nesim. So that's 2 points that we see right from these psukim. This mitzvah, which is one of the Taryag, 613 mitzvahs, and actually there are several positive commandments and some negative commandments. They're mentioned in Parshas Re'eh, Leisa Amitzes Levovko, Leisikpeitzes Yotko, you shall not harden your heart towards your fellow man in need. You shall not close your hand towards your fellow man in need. Pasoach Tiftaches Yotko, you shall open your hand to him. Noson Titein, you shall give to him. Or Vachzakto, that if a man is falling, the greatest type of stalkers, when one is falling, to help him before he falls. See? Help him before he comes to the situation where he's going to need stoko. This mitzvah, these mitzvahs, are from the Taryag, from the 613, but they occupy their own unique place. Their own unique place, which no other mitzvah does. The Rambam brings in Perek Yud of Matnas Aniyim. The Rambam says a very astonishing statement. If one would ask, of all the positive mitzvahs, positive commandments in the Torah, which one should we be most zealous with? Which one should we be most careful with? So someone might say with tefillin. Tefillin, and each one you can give a whole shir, why that's more important. Tefillin, you can give all kind of shurim, why it's so important. Someone would say matzah. Matzah is the zecher of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Yetzias Mitzrayim is the source of Kol HaTorah, the entire Torah. Shofar. Shofar brings a person to tshuva. Others might say Bris Milah. Or Korban Pesach. Because Bris Milah and Korban Pesach, first of all, Bris Milah is a covenant. But secondly, Bris Milah and Korban Pesach carry a punishment by the lack of doing it that no other mitzvah carries, no other positive commandment. So there would be many cheshbonos. Rambam doesn't say this. Rambam says, Hayovin onu lizoyre b'mitzvot tztoko, yesem mikol mitzvot aseh. We are commanded to be more careful and to be more zealous in the fulfillment of the mitzvah of tztoko than any other positive commandment. He's not saying that tztoko carries a greater punishment or which has better qualities, but he's saying this is the mitzvah that we have to be more careful with than all other positive commandments. Why? Why? It's one of the 613. Every mitzvah is important, and on every mitzvah you can say shurim and shurim as to its particular importance. So why tztoko? She says a reason. Tztoko simen letzadik zera Avraham Avinu. Because while every mitzvah is one of the 613 mitzvahs that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has commanded us in, tztoko is a simen muvak, tztoko is the hallmark that we are from the seed of Avraham Avinu. No other mitzvah is that. Tztoko is the hallmark, is the sign that this person is the seed of Avraham Avinu. Tztoko simen letzadik zera Avraham Avinu. Shenema as it states, ki yedati v'leman ashe yitzav es bonem lasi tztoko. Because why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu choose Avraham? There were 20 generations before Avraham. And there were many, many generations after Avraham. Why did the Almighty choose Avraham and his seed to be the nation which would be given the Torah and the 613 mitzvahs over all the other various people?
Torah tells us why. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, Ki yodati v'yodafti means, Rashi says there, I am going to bring him close. Why am I bringing Avram close to me more than anyone else? Because Leman Asher Yitzav is born of Lasei Stoko Umishpot. Because I know that he will imbue and command his children to do Stoko. And this he found by no other person. Avraham will do Stoko, and he will command and imbue this to his children. And this is the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought Avraham close and chose him and separated him from everyone else. So therefore the Rambam says, this is our hallmark, this is our identification, that we are from Zer Avraham, the seed of Avraham. Therefore we must be careful, more careful with this mitzvah than any other mitzvah. Every mitzvah is important. Non-mitzvah can be negated. But we must place a particular emphasis on this, because this is the mitzvah which is the hallmark that we are from the children of Avraham Avinu. And it was because of this that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought Avraham close to him. Then the Rambam says, Kol Mishu Avori. If a person has the quality of cruelty, which is the contrary to tzedakah, which is the contrary to compassion, he's cruel. He sees his fellow brother in need, and he cannot help him. He cannot bring himself to help him. Ve'ein marachim. He has no compassion on him. Yesh lochu shliyachusay. Then his ancestry is suspect. If you find a Jew, this is the Rambam's quote from the Gemara. If you find a Jew, it's a Gemara in Yevamos. If you find a Jew, and he can stand by and see fellow Jews in need, and he will not do anything for them, so the Gemara says his ancestry isn't suspect. He's lacking the identification that he's from the seed of Abraham. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Ki yodativ leman asher yitzav es beiso yubon av achrov lasei stoko. I know that Avraham will imbue the mitzvah of stoko in his children. And this person doesn't have it, then his yichus, his ancestry, is in suspect. Sheinach zoris mitzuya leba'akum. This is cruelty, this is found by the idolaters, not by Klal Yisrael. All of Israel and all that come to join Israel, they're like brothers. As it states, Bonim atem l'Hashem elokeichem, you're all sons to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'im lo yirachim ha'ach al ha'ach, and if one brother will not be compassionate towards the other brother, mi yirachim alav, who will be compassionate to him? U'lemi ani Yisrael neisin eineihem, the poor of Israel, who will they look up for? Who will they look to? Al akum shesheni neisai, to the idolaters which hate them, bereid fi machareihem, and pursue them. Ha ein enein tluye selalachim. Their eyes are turned only to their brothers. So from here we see the particular importance, the particular uniqueness of the mitzvah of tzedakah. And actually, it comes out then. It's not merely one of the mitzvahs of the Taryag, of the 613, but it's also a bris, it's a covenant. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I'm making a covenant with Avraham, we're making a deal. Why? Because I found that Avraham has the quality of tzedakah which he will imbue in his children. So it's a bris. According to this, just like someone who doesn't have bris milah, and that's the sign begufe, that's the sign in the physical body that he's from the children of Avraham. Someone who doesn't have mitzvah tzedakah, this is the bris benafshoy. This is the covenant, the sign in his nefesh, whether he's from the children of Avraham Avinu or not. When it comes to tzedakah, to this mitzvah, how much is a person? What is required of a person? We say we're supposed to help. How much? The Chazal tell us, Mesech Tekshuvos, Hakol Avi Oshrei. This is all in accordance to the particular wealth of the person. This is not dependent at all on what he gives, but rather it's dependent on what he has. Generally, the sages advise this as follows. Midas Beinonis, Havas Midas Asiri. That the middle path, would be that a person should give a tenth of what he has. They explain that means if he has capital and he's going to invest it in a business, so the first year he must give a tenth of the capital, and then each year afterwards he gives a tenth of the profits. Midas ein yofer hava archemish nechosov. Someone who has a good eye, who has a good heart, then his derech, his mannerism should be to give 20%. Not 10%, but 20%. This is what the sages tell us. Then the Gemara tells us in Subas Dav Mem Des, Hiskina Be'usho, Al Yivazbeis, Al Mavazbeis, Al Yivazbeis, Yoyse Mecheime, Shem Yitzarech Lebriyosh. Person, if he's giving away a lot of money to the needy, he should not give more than a fifth, more than 20%. Why? Because lest he himself will become poor because he's giving so much of his money away, and Yitzarek Lebrius, he'll have to come on to take stock. Therefore, he should not give more than 20%. Now, this halacha, that a person should not give more than 20%, the Chofetz Chaim Zichrono Livracha, in his Sefer Avos Chesed, in Perek Chof, he writes that when the Gemara tells us you shouldn't give more than 20% of your possessions, your earnings, and so forth, this is referring to normal situations. But there are several exceptions to this. Let's make mention of them. Some of them. Firstly, since the reason why they said you should not give more than 20% because lest you yourself might become poor, and then you will have to come unto Stockholm. So therefore this is speaking about an average person. But an Osher Mufleg, what happens if a person is very, very wealthy? He has tremendous wealth. So by him, even if he would give 20% or more, he's still going to have tremendous wealth left. So he is permitted, because the reason there is not relevant. That's one exception. Second exception is if it's a situation where you have to look for poor people, or you have to look for needy causes, then after a person has given 20%, he's not obligated to look for more needy people or causes. But if they come to you and they're hungry and they have to be clothed and there is a need, then a person has reshus, he has permission, and it's midas chasidus, and it's righteous that he gives more than a fifth of his possessions. The source of this is a Rambam. A third exception is this is all in cases where there is no pikuach nefesh, where there's not a danger to life. Just a question of making someone more comfortable. But what would happen if there's a danger to life? For example, a man is starving. Or a man has been kidnapped by idolaters and they want a ransom for him. Or Cholila, like it was in the situation during the time of the Holocaust, that it was possible then to buy lives for Jews. If it's a question of life and death, he says, then there is no cheshbon. person cannot say, look, I've given my 20%, my 10%, my 20%, I don't have to give anymore. Chalila. Heaven forbid. Because the Gemara tells us, the Gemara in Bamatzi, in Perek Ezo Neshe, Gemara says, Chayecho kein min l'chayochicho. If it's your life or your brother's life, who comes first? Gemara brings a case, Omer Rebbe Kiva. Two people are walking in a desert. And they have one has a kishin shel mayim, one has a bottle of water. The other has no water. And there's not enough water for both of them. There's just enough water for one. What should he do? If it's divided in half, neither of them will live till they come to the next source of water. So should he drink it? Or should he give it to his fellow man? One opinion in the Gemara is he should give it to his fellow man while Yiru b'misis achicho, and he should not witness the death of his fellow man. And Rebbe Kiva says no. It states in the Torah v'chei achicho imoch that you're obligated to help your brother live with you. That's with you. So chayecho kaidmin kodim l'chayo achicho. If it's a question of your life or another Jew's life, your life comes first. There's no mitzvah to sacrifice your life for another Jew's life. The Torah said, "V'chei achicho imoch," you should see that your brother lives with you. So your life comes first. And this was Rabbi Kiva, and this was the great Rabbi Kiva that said, "V'achter eich kameicho," you should love your fellow man like yourself. So we see that you have no right to sacrifice your life for another Jew's life. So Chofetz Chaim says, this we only find in regards to giving your life away. That your fellow man's life does not take precedence over your life. But we do not find any source that your possessions take precedence over another Jew's life. Your life takes precedence over another life, but your possessions do not take precedence over another life. Therefore, if it's a case of pikuach nefesh, of danger to life, then one is obligated to respond without any calculation. So that's another exception. A fourth exception is bishas meiseh, when a man is dying. Since the whole reason why he must be careful not to give too much is because then he won't leave enough for himself. So that's relevant during his life. But what happens when he's dying in his last will and testimony? Then he doesn't have to worry. What will he do for his own panoso? Then there is no shear, the limit of 20% does not exist. We'll go into that a little more in a minute. So that's a fourth exception. Then a fifth exception the Chofetz Chaim brings. He says all of this is in regards to stamstoker, in regards to helping the needy and the poor, the sick, and the hungry, and the elderly, and so forth. But what happens if it comes to Hachzokas HaTorah, stoko, to support the study of Torah? So this he brings sources that no, here there is no limit of even 20%. The person wants to give more, it's mitzvah. Why is that? He says, because there's a difference of helping the poor and supporting Torah. Supporting someone that's learning Torah or supporting institutions of Torah. Why? When you help the poor, so you have the mitzvah of tzedakah. When you help someone study Torah, not only do you have the mitzvah of tzedakah, but you become a partner in his Torah. The reshutva is a partnership in his Torah. Chazal tell us that if you help someone learn Torah, then you have a portion in that Torah. A portion in Torah, there's no shear to, there's no limit. Talmud Torah is from the Dvorim Shein Lam Shear. There's no limit how much one should learn. The more he learns, the greater the mitzvah. Here be Torah, here be Shchar. The more he learns, the greater his reward will be. So the same thing, the more he supports Torah, and through this, he has a portion in those people who are learning Torah, so then the greater the mitzvah, the greater reward. A source he brings to this is because when the Mishkan was dedicated. So each shevet, each tribe came, as we read, the prince of each tribe came, and they came first, and they brought sacrifices, and they brought new vessels to the sanctuary. Who came first? Yehuda. More or less, why did Yehuda come first? The tribe of Yehuda, because Yehuda was the melech, he was the king. And Yale Bereish, the king goes first. From Yehuda came Dover HaMelech, came kings. Who went second? Yisachar. Why did Yisachar go second? Because from Yisachar came great Lamedei Torah, great Torah scholars. 200 Rosh Sanhedrias. They produced 200 heads of Sanhedrins. From Yisachar, Yedei Bina. Greatest Talmidei Chachamim came from Yisachar. They had the power of Torah, so therefore they came second. Who came third? Zvulun. Mordechai says, why did Zvulun come third? They were sailors, so therefore why they came third? They lived on the sea, they were great merchants. They were involved in a lot of shipping. So why did they come third? Mordechai says, the Medrash says, because they supported the Torah of Yisachar. They made a deal with Yisachar, in which they said, look, we're busy. We're busy in import and export. And it's very difficult for us to find time or to find a klarakop, a clear head to learn. On the other hand, you're busy learning. It's very difficult for you to find time to do business. So we'll make a deal. We'll do the business, and half of what we earn will go to you. And you learn, and half of what you learn will come to us. So they made such a deal, and Moshe praised it. When Moshe gave his brachas before he died, so he said, Yismach Zvulun b'tzeisecho v'yisachar b'eyalecho. How fortunate and happy Zvulun is when they go out to the sea to do business. Why? Because Yisachar is b'eyalecho. Because Yisachar are in the tents of Torah, and half of that will belong to them. And then the Medrash brings, says, what did Yisachar bring to the Mishkan? Zvulun. So it states, Karo. They brought a Karo. This was a plate. That was connected Lechem Shoya Machiloi. This was symbolized the bread which they fed to Yisachar. Mizrok. They brought a cup, a golden cup. What was that for? Kineged Ayayin Shoya Mashkeu. They symbolized the wine that they gave to Yisachar. It was Kesef, silver. And why was it silver? Because Gam Kesef Hayinayin Leilasish, because they gave them silver also. Kol Tzeche, to take care of all of their needs. Then it states, Shneyam Leim Seilis. Both of these were full of flour. Both. Shoyinayin Shar Ter Biyachad, Ushneyam Haya Mispansin Biyachad. They divided the Torah equally. Yisachar couldn't claim, look, we are the ones who are doing all the work here of learning. Why do we have to give you a full half? No, they divided Torah equally, and they divided the Paranoso of Zvulun equally. So the Chofetz Chaim brings from here, what do you see? You see they gave much more than 20%? So therefore this, he says, does not apply, that applies only to stalkers of helping needy. But when it comes to support Torah, then besides stalker, this is known as a shutfis, this is a partnership. A partnership, he says, that a person has a right to go into a partnership with Torah as much as he wants. Let's go into some of these points with a little more depth. Firstly, we said that the mitzvah of tzedakah has no particular shir. Most mitzvahs have a definite shir, for example, an esrog. There's only how big an esrog can be, or a lulav, or a shefer. There are certain minimums and maximums or limitations. When it comes to tzedakah, this is kfi osro. This is in accordance to the particular wealth of the person. If a poor man gives a rand, that can be a tremendous mitzvah. If a wealthy man gives a million rand, that might not be considered to the Almighty as such a great mitzvah, like we'll see in a minute. If it would be dependent on the Hefzer, it would be dependent on what is being given, then we look at the balance sheet. But the mitzvah is not that. The mitzvah is dependent on who's giving it. So therefore, a poor man's rent sometimes can be a greater mitzvah stoker than a million rent being given by a very wealthy man. That's what the Gemara says. Echor amarbe ve'echor amamit. Doesn't depend if you give more, if you give less. It depends what's behind the mitzvah. Like we learned here, the nogva libon, how much heart goes into the mitzvah. For a poor man to give a ren sometimes, there might be more heart and more lev and nefesh than for a wealthy man who might even give a million ren. Now we see this very blatantly. It's a tremendous story the Gemara brings. Gemara brings in Masechta Ksubos. This is really something which is it's almost a shocking story. Ksubos daf samach vav amud beis. There's another Gemara Masechta Gittin that tells us that there were three very, very wealthy men in Yerushalayim during the time of the siege of the Romans. Multi-millionaires. They were so wealthy that the three of them could hold out Yerushalayim for years. And years, and Yerushalayim was a city of tremendous multitude. Had it not been for the rebels, say, that wanted war, they would have been able to hold for the siege for years. But they went and they burnt down all their storehouses of food and wood and so forth. One of these people were a Nachdiman Ben Gurion. To give you an idea how wealthy Nachdiman Ben Gurion was, the Mishnah says in Samach Vav Amud Beis in Ksubos Perek Metzias Yisho, Achosin Mekabel Alov Asoret Dinarim Lekupa Lechol Mono Mono. When Achosin marries a Kala, today mostly it's a standard Ksuba. But technically, in the Ksuba, is supposed to be what the Chosin has promised the Kala and what the Kala's father has promised the Chosin, the Nadunya. And this is what was read under the Chuppah generally. Nowadays, it might be a car, say, it might be a home. Now, how much is a Chosin obligated? The Mora says it's a wife you have to take care of, it's a great mitzvah. And it's very, very important to see that a wife is kept beautiful. It's very important. This is something that our sages were very zealous on, that a wife must be able to keep herself beautiful. Ezra, when he came to inherit the land of Eretz Yisrael, he made a special takona that you can never keep out anybody who's coming to sell takshite noshim, to sell beautifications for women. You can never keep them out of a city, even if they're coming from another city in their competition to the local tradesmen. Because it's very important that a wife must be kept beautiful. So the question now arises, how much does a husband have to allocate his wife for perfumes and for other such oils? So the Mishnah says, Achosin mekabel lo v'asoret dinrim lekupa lechol mono mono. He must set aside 10 dinarim, this was a certain amount, for every mono of the nadunya that he received. If he received so much from the house of the Kala, then he had to set aside so much, a guarantee that this she'll have every week to buy beautifications with, perfumes and oils. If he received more, then he has to set aside more. So the Gemara brings that when the Bitei shel Nachdiman Ben Gurion got married, the daughter of Nachdiman Ben Gurion got married, there was such a ksuba, tremendous ksuba, tremendous nedanya. So the husband, the way Tosfos learns, the husband came to the Beis Din and he says, I'm going to leave it to you. You figure it out. See? You figure out and you tell me. Whatever I have to set aside for her every day for her oils and perfumes, you tell me and I'll do it. So the Beis Din sat down. They didn't have calculators in those days. She sat down and they came up. They said, they came up with a figure of 400 gold coins for perfumes and oils every day. Imagine 400 kugarams. Per day. 400 gold coins he had to set aside every day for her perfumes and oils. Now Taisvis asked the kasha. See, later on we'll see what the value of the ksuba was. And he says, according to the value of the ksuba, it wasn't enough. It was supposed to be more, because it didn't come out to that percentage. But he says they were satisfied with that amount because they saw she couldn't use more. It would have been impossible for her to use more. When she heard this, so she said to the Chachomim, Omra lehem kach tifsecho lebnei seichem. So she told the Chachomim, may you one day also come with such a psak, with such an order for your daughters. In other words, may your daughters also be zeicha to this. And they said, Amen. So now we see what kind of wealth we're dealing with here. 400 gold coins a day just for oils and perfumes. So we see what kind of wealth we're dealing with. Then the Gemara brings another story. Tana Rabbanan, Maase b'Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai. So Yerechiv ala Chamor. Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai was riding on a donkey. Vayetzi miYerushalayim, vayitalmidei mehalchin achrav. He was going out of Yerushalayim and his disciples were following him. Ro riva achas shoyisam ala ketes so'orim mibein gloli behemtun shel arbayim. He saw a young girl, and she was gathering straw from the dung of the animals of the Arabs. Kivan Shara also, when she saw Rabbi Yechman Zaki come with his Talmidim, Isatfa Besara, she immediately covered, put something over her hair, Omdalafonov, and she stood up and she said, Omdal Rai Rebbe Panasaini, Rebbe, give me to eat. Omdal Abiti Miat. So Rabbi Yechman Zaki said, Biti, Rabbi Yechman Zaki was the Godladori, he was the leader of the generation. He said, my daughter, who are you? She said, Bas Nagdiman Ben Gurion Ani. I am the daughter of Nagdiman Ben Gurion. Oh, my Lord, he said, Biti, my daughter, Momen shall be Sovicha Hechen Holach. Shall be Sovicha Hechen Holach. The great wealth of your father's house. Where did it go? Omro lo, Rebbe, like a day matlin mitla bi Yushalayim. So she said, Rebbe, is it not like those who say parables in Yerushalayim, Molach Momen Chosar ve'amrilo Chosad, that if you want to salt your money, if you want to keep your money, then Chosar, then give it away. Or do chesed with it. You want to insure your wealth, then give it away, give tzedakah, give chesed. That's the insurance for your wealth. She said, my father didn't give tzedakah. He didn't give tzedakah, and his whole wealth was devastated. It was lost. She said, "V'shel beis chomi heichenhu." And what about the wealth? Your husband you married also was wealthy in his own right. What about all the wealth from your father-in-law? Omrelo boizev ivrezeh. Says they did business together. They became partners, so it became like one collection. So it was all lost. Omre le Rebbe. So Rebbe got up and he said to his Talmidim, Zochor ato kishe chasamta oksub. No, excuse me. Omro lei Rebbe. She said to Rebbe, Rebbe, Zochor ato kishe chasamta oksubosi. Do you remember that you were one who signed my ksuba? The ksuba has to be signed by two witnesses. So she said, do you remember you were at Mechasna? And you were one of the witnesses who signed the ksuba? Omro lei le Talmidim. So Rebbe got up and he said to his Talmidim, Zohor ani kishachasamti al ksubose shel zuva yisikereba elef alofim din reizov mi beisavia chutz mi shel chomio. He says, I remember when I signed this ksuba, and it read, and I read the ksuba that it said that her father is giving her 1 million gold coins. But the nadin will be 1 million gold coins she will bring into her husband's house. And that was besides the money that was allocated to them from the Chosin's father. Bocha Rebbe. Rebbe wept. The Omar, and he said, Bocha Rabbi Yechman Zakeh wept, and he said, Ashreichem Yisrael bizman she'esin v'tzeni shel mokam ein kol uma v'loshin sheletes behem. V'zman she'esin v'tzeni shel mokam meisrin musorin b'yad uma shfeila. Fortunate is Israel. When they do the will of the Almighty, there is no nation that will have any hand over them. When they do not fulfill the will of the Almighty, then not only they'll be given over to the lowest nations, but even beyad behemten shul mishvila, but even into the hands of the animals of the lowest nations. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai wept. Then the Gemara comes along and asks, Nagdiman ben Gurion le'avad tzedakah. What do you mean to say that Nagdiman ben Gurion lost his money because he didn't do tzedakah? Vasanyot says on him, Omro lova Nagdiman ben Gurion k'shiyetzim mibes lebeis ha-medrish kli milas ha-yomatsina istakhtov u'boin anim ha-makaplino yisei ma'achrov. He says, every day Nagdiman ben Gurion used to walk to the, when he went from his house to the Beis HaMedrash, they used to spread on the ground expensive carpets so he won't have to walk on the ground. And every day he left them there. He used new ones every day. And he left those for the poor. So what do you mean he didn't do tzedakah? He gave a tremendous amount of tzedakah. Every day when he went to the Beis HaMedrash, expensive carpets were laid at his feet and he left them for the aniyim, for the poor. So the Gemara says there were two reasons. First of all, the Gemara says, this he did for his own honor. He did it for his own honor. He didn't do it for the sake of the poor. Secondly, he did a lot, but he did not do according to his wealth. Like people say, how much do you load on the camel? The camel was used to carry. So they used to say, how much do you load on the camel? You load on the camel in accordance to the strength of the particular camel. The same thing. How much mitzvah tzedakah does HaKadosh Baruch Hu give to a person? He gives the mitzvah tzedakah in accordance to the wealth of the person. Now here Nagdiman ben Gurion was doing great tzedakah. He was giving here carpets every day that runs into big money. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he was not impressed with this. Not with the type of money that he had. And you see that from a woman that 400 gold coins were allocated a day to her from the wealth which she brought into her marriage just for oils and perfumes. So not, we're not talking about anything else. Oils and perfumes that she ended up looking gathering straw from the dung of the animals of the Arabs. This was Bocha, Rabbi Yechman Zakkai. When Rabbi Yechman Zakkai saw this, he wept. So this is a very startling Gemara on the obligation of the person in Stoker in accordance to his particular wealth. There's another such source, in the Sefer Rush. It states, "Vayhi b'mei shveit ha-sheftim," right at the beginning, "Vayhi rov ba'oretz." It was during the days of the sheftim, and there was a great famine in the land. And "Vayhi lechish mi-beis lechem yudi," and a man went out of Eretz Yisrael, and he went to Moab, he and his wife, and his two sons. This was Elimelech and Naomi. And great tragedy happened. Now this man was a very wealthy man, the sages tell us. A great tragedy happened. He died. His two sons married Nochrias, they married non-Jewish women. And then they died. Then it says he lost his horses and he lost his camels and he lost his cattle and he lost everything. And Naomi came back with Ruth, a poor broken woman. Why did this all happen? So the Chazal tell us, why did it happen? Because Osher Godel Hoya, he was a very, very wealthy man. Upanis Hador, he was a leader of the generation. And the reason why he ran out of Eretz Yisrael, because Tzoras Ha'ayin, he was stingy. He could not take the poor people coming and asking him for money all of the time. He wanted to keep all of the money for himself, so he left. Lekach nenesh. And this is why he was punished and he lost his money. Now the Vilna Gaon says on this, in his beer, right at the end of Pasuk Aleph, He says, "Ki ikur midas achis chesed animshach mi ita yisborachu me acheset sheis orim lamata kinanu." The whole power of chesed, the whole power of goodness that comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's triggered off, that's precipitated by the chesed that we do here. If we do chesed here, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu does chesed lemalo, above. If we do not do chesed here, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not do chesed lemalo. The Gemara says that the more you, like we learned, the more you give, the more you'll have. The more you give, the more you ensure your wealth. It's just the opposite what should be. The Gemara says you don't give, you'll lose it. That's just the opposite that should be. One would think that the less you give, the more you'll have. The reason for it, the Gemara says, is because who gives you the money? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's the chesed of Hashem. The chesed of Hashem that he does is comparable to the chesed that we do. If there's much chesed here, then he does chesed. If there's little chesed, then he does little chesed. V'atzar hara hoye lehem hu ma'ashe lechom l'alinim. Ki kol ma'ashe neisen Hashem l'zeh yesem mizehu k'dei sherachim al chaveru v'yaneu men achosof. And he says, the greatest evil that a person can do is not share what he has with those who need it. He said, the only reason why the Almighty gave one more than the other is to give him the opportunity to share it with others. Kivan shele'osu zeis ha'gavro b'zeh, since Elimelech did not do this, govro b'zeh aleha midas ha'din. So came, instead of midas ha'chesed, midas ha'din. Miyad vayhirov v'oreth. That's why there was a famine. See, the Vilna Gaon learns that the famine that was in the land, that came from the Tzoras Ayin, that came from the greed of Elimelech, because he did not give. So this closed off the chesed above. Therefore there was famine in the land. And eventually this is why he lost also. We mentioned another point. That at a time of death, even though a person must be careful not to overgive when he's alive, but at the time of death, he can give more. Now this also is a source in the Gemara in Ksuba Samach Zayin Omid Beis. Gemara brings from Mar Ukfa. Mar Ukfa and Samach Zayin Omid Beis was a great Baal Tzedakah. He was a person who gave a lot of tzedakah. Mora brings Mar Ukva have anya b'shivivuse. Mar Ukva had a poor man that used to live in his neighborhood. He used to send him 400 zuzim, which was a large amount of money, every Erev Yom Kippur. This was his custom. Every Erev Yom Kippur, Mar Ukva used to send 400 zuz to a poor man that lived in his neighborhood. Yumachad shadrinin lebiadre. One time he sent it through his son, through Mar Ukva's son. Also, Amalei Leitzorech. When his son came back, he said, "I don't think you have to give him money anymore." He said, "Why?" "My chazisa." He says, "Chazid, the komazal filez yain yoshon. I saw that he was drinking yain yoshon. He was drinking the best wine. He was eating. It was Erev Yom Kippur, and he had the best wine that money could buy." Omar Marukva said, "Mefane kuli hai. I didn't know that he was such a connoisseur. I didn't realize he was such a connoisseur. I asked the Vishadrin in L.A. So he doubled the amount. Doubled the amount. I thought he was a plain person, so I thought 400 zuz would be enough. I see he's such a connoisseur and he's used to such good wine. He says, I'll have to double the amount. From then, that time, he doubled the amount. Ki ko nicha nafshei. When Mar Ukva was dying, Omar, I see lichush benoid tztoko. He said, bring to me all my stock books. I want my account books. I want to see how much stock I've given. They added up and he had given 7,000 dinarim. The amount of 7,000 dinarim. Omar, he said, Zavdoi klilei v'urcha rechikto. He said, that's a small amount of parnosa for a long journey. I'm about to go on a long journey. And I'm going to need parnosa for that journey. And this 7,000 dinarim that I gave is a small amount of parnosa for such a long journey. Kom bizbezei lepalge memena. So he's ordered that half of all of his wealth must be given away to the poor. So the Gemara says, how can you do such a thing? And Usha, they said that you shouldn't give away more than a fifth. So the Gemara says, that's when he's alive. But at a person's death, then he can give more because he doesn't have to worry. He doesn't have to worry what will be with himself. Actually, there's a question in the pay scheme, how much he can give. See, the Ramo brings, he can give whatever he wants. He brings that in the beginning of Yoredeya, Reish Mem Tes, Sivalef. But other pay scheme bring that he should give a third or a half, but not more than a half. Now from here comes a question that many people ask. Many people ask the question, how much is one obligated to give to his children, to give to his family? People say, look, I want to give tzedakah, but what about my own children? What about my own family? What about relatives? Now, the answer is, it depends. If a person has family, if he has children, or brothers, or parents, who are in need, older children who are working, but they are in need, they're having a hard time making ends meet. Or he has parents that are in need, relatives that are in need. Then, to give to them is a mitzvah tzedakah. If they are in need, so then it's a mitzvah tzedakah to give to them. Not only is it a mitzvah tzedakah to give to them, but it's the greatest mitzvah tzedakah. And they come before anyone else. Because the Gemara says, your own poor come before others' poor. Your family comes first when it comes to mitzvah tzedakah. So if a person has a relative that's in need, that's mitzvah tzedakah. And that takes priority. So that would be the answer under those circumstances. The same thing. If a person is dying, so it's the greatest mitzvah then to leave their money. What would be though in a case, which is very common, that the children have enough, Baruch Hashem, they're making a living, and the relatives have enough, and the parents have enough. Now, if they have enough, then they cannot be classified as aniyim, as poor. So even though what you give them is a gemilas chesed. You give a gift to even a wealthy person, that's a chesed, that's a kindliness. And certainly to your own members of your own family. But that's not tzedakah. That's not mitzvah tzedakah. If they are, Baruch Hashem, making enough, and they're able to support themselves, it's a mitzvah to give them gifts. But that's not tzedakah. And therefore, under no circumstances, can a person fulfill his obligations of tzedakah to the poor and needy by giving it to relatives, to sons or to parents or to brothers or sisters that are not needy. He must fulfill all his obligations of tzedakah, whichever obligations, like we mentioned, that the Torah has placed on him. And then also he must give to them, and this is a mitzvah. So that would be the answer under those circumstances. But then also you have another question many times. What would be if a person is a wealthy person and he's given his tzedakah? He's given all the tzedakah that he has to give. He's given his particular percentages. And his children, Baruch Hashem, are also doing well. And he has set them up well in business. and with homes and cars, and they lack nothing. Well, you can't say they lack nothing, because the Gemara says, Yesh lamona rotzim asayim, if you have 100, you want 200. So not that they lack nothing, but Baruch Hashem. See? Like we say, halavayach alle Yidin gesorgt. They're living comfortably. Now this is a question many times you get. Now the man's wondering, what should I do? He says, I have money, I have plenty of money. Should I give to tzedakah? If I give to tzedakah, I see my children are not too happy, because there's going to be less money left over for them, for his children, for his wife, for others. So should I give for tzedakah more for tzedakah, or should I leave it for them? And then the shiloh also is a very strong shiloh. When a man is making out his will, look at, he says, I have a lot of money here, but my children also have a lot of money. I'd like to leave big sums for tzedakah, but I feel a little guilty, because if I don't leave it for tzedakah, it will go to my children. And they also are not so happy that I should leave these sums for tzedakah. This is a question that many times comes up. On this, a person must realize that what he gives, what he leaves for his children, look, his obligation is that he must see his wife, he must see that she's left in the ultimate of comfort. But we're speaking after that. What he leaves for children and relatives that have enough is not mitzvah. What he leaves for the needy and the poor, for charitable institutions, Jewish hospitals, old age homes, Mekemes Shel Torah, places of Torah, Eretz Yisrael, this is the mitzvah that the Rambam says that stands out from all other mitzvahs. When it comes to the emblem of Avraham Avinu, because there he's giving to the needy, or there he's supporting Torah, or he's supporting the sick, or he's supporting the poor, or he's supporting the elderly, he's supporting the hungry, while his children and family have already been well taken care of. And there's no mitzvah in the Torah that says that if his children have 500,000 rand, it's a bigger mitzvah to see that they have 1 million. If they have 1 million, it's a bigger mitzvah to see they have 2 million. If they have 5 million, it's a bigger mitzvah to see that they have 10 million. And a person should realize that with the tzedakah that he'll give, that will be for him in the next world. With the hundreds of thousands or whatever the sums are that he leaves over to his family that already has money, that he will not stand him in the next world. Therefore the Peskim say, Dor HaShulchan for one, and this was the case of Mar Ukva. See, Mar Ukva had a son. What did he give half his money away for? Why didn't he leave it for his son? He said, because my son is not poor. Baruch Hashem, he's not poor. The others are poor. It's a mitzvah of tzedakah. Because what is, we always speak of financial responsibility. But the Torah also has an opinion as to what financial responsibility is. Money was given to people to do mitzvahs with, to do good with. If your family needs it, then that's the greatest mitzvah, the greatest responsibility. But if your family does not need it, then that's an irresponsibility as long as there are other Jews that need it. And this is why Mar Ukva gave half of his possessions away. He was a wealthy man. Dor HaShulchan brings, he would advise in such a case to give half away. Leave half for your family in order that they should have some of the inheritance, but the other half you use for yourself. He says, just like when you're living, you wouldn't give it all to the family, so when you're dead, also don't give it all to the family. Why? Use it for yourself. And how do you use it for yourself? By giving it to the needy and the poor. Because then you're using it for your neshama in the next world. Money was given, was a gift given to people that they could be kana, acquire the next world with. Just like if a person would squander it, the same thing if he gives it where it's not needed, that's squandering it. And meanwhile, he's losing an opportunity of acquiring the next world with it. And from here we come to one final point. And that is this mitzvah of tzedakah, of chinuch haboni, of teaching children. Just like it's a mitzvah to give tzedakah, we must realize it's the same mitzvah to imbue this principle to our children. Same mitzvah. Why? Because when we began the shir, we said that the Rambam holds that this is what identifies a Jew with Avraham Avinu. What was the identification? Hashem said that I know Avraham will imbue in his children the mitzvah of tzedakah. This means it's not enough for a Jew to give tzedakah. He must imbue this in his children. The city of Johannesburg is a city of tremendous balei tzedakah, tremendous generous people. They have a reputation all throughout the world. It's not for no reason that people come from all over the world, from Eretz Yisrael and all over the world, to raise funds for the needy institutions and needy people. They wouldn't be coming if there wouldn't be the response. And Johannesburg for generations have had this reputation. And the reason is, there are two reasons. First of all, they come from a litvish stock of people that were balei Torah and balei mitzvahs, and they knew what we were speaking about here. So they imbued in their children. If you speak to all of these balei tzedakah, they will all tell you what their fathers used to tell them. They imbued in their children this mitzvah. And secondly, almost without exception, almost all of the great balei tzedakah of this community remember the days when they were poor. And the Gemara tells us, Aser Taser, Aser Kedesish Asher. You want to become wealthy, give tzedakah. This was fulfilled by the old generation. Almost without exception, the old generation came here with next to nothing. Each one will tell you his own story. And Baruch Hashem, they came to a standard of living here which is second to none in the world. So it was fulfilled, this Aser Taser. They gave generously and it came back. But almost all of these generous people remember the time when they had nothing. So they have a great soft spot in their heart, like we mentioned, it's Liboy, of what the plight of the needy are, what the plight of the poor people. So these two qualities here, of being hammered in by their parents what it means to give tzedakah, and remembering what it means for a person to be in need, imbued them with nesor libay, raised them up, where they give tremendous sums. But there's a great fear in the community. Because I see this all the time, in these people. But there's a big question mark if this is going to go over to the next generation. Next generation is different already. They didn't have the parents that remembered Lithuania. And they, almost without exception, have been brought up lacking nothing. Baruch Hashem, they lack nothing. But they don't remember what it means to be poor. And the quality of tzedakah is not only to give tzedakah. The quality of tzedakah is the quality of Avraham Avinu, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Ki yadativ asher yitzav es bonav, that he will command his household after him to do tzedakah. And this is a very delicate, sensitive point here. Because all of the poor of Israel, all of the institutions, charitable institutions, and all of the institutions of Torah, and all of Eretz Yisrael, will look to the next generation for their support. That's where the support will come from. It's a very, we're dealing here with a very sensitive issue, very important issue. And unfortunately and tragically, we come across many times where the parents can give astronomical sums to all types of needy causes. And the children, they don't want to know of it. They have different ideas altogether. And meanwhile, not only that, but many times you see that they're not even so anxious that the parents should be giving so much, because there's going to be less left over for them, even though they lack nothing. And many times parents, instead of imbuing their children with this, how do you imbue a person with this? You have to teach them, not how to give from the excess. That we learned, that's not the mitzvah tzedakah. Mitzvah stock is how to give from what you need, how to share with someone else. Instead of teaching them that they should take what they have and share it, they should be satisfied with less and give it away, and imbue this power of tzedakah which Klal Yisrael has. It's just the opposite. The new generation, they give everything that money can buy. They drive the type of automobiles that the parents had to work 50, 60 years before they even dreamt of buying such an automobile. Everything that money can buy, without any financial responsibility in the eyes of the Torah, what financial responsibility is. Besides the fact that they ruin them in many ways because they don't teach them what the value of something is, they don't teach them what it means to work for something, that all of this training their parents had. Besides all of that, but where it comes that they're totally not cognizant to the needs of the community or to the needs of other Jews in the dimensions that their own parents were cognizant of. And many times they themselves influence their parents. Be careful not to give everything away. There won't be enough left for us. But this is very important, because this is the mitzvah of tzedakah, the way Avraham saw it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't say that I am choosing Avraham because he does tzedakah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that I'm choosing Avraham because I know he will imbue and command this trait in his children. That's the mitzvah of tzedakah b'shleimus in its entirety. So this evening we had the opportunity to discuss a few aspects of this mitzvah. And this was a mitzvah always with Klal Yisrael right from the beginning, like you see here in the Mishkan. The Mishkan required a tremendous amount of contribution and a tremendous amount of wealth. And there was no trouble raising it. Not there was no trouble raising it, the problem was the converse. That the people came to Moshe and they said that it's too much, every day they're bringing more. Moshe had to command the people, stop bringing. This was the quality of Avraham Avinu. The Gemara says that from tzedakah, istatzel mimoves, comes life. It's the essence of life. The Maral says that when you give to another person, you're helping him live. You're becoming a shutef with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's job, to help make people live. And this is the level you raise up to when you give tzedakah. May we be zeicher to continue this great mitzvah amongst Klal Yisrael in general, and here in particular. And all of the prophecies fulfilled, the Rambam brings, En Kisa Yisrael Miskenin V'dasar Emeser Medes Ele B'tzokah, that the throne of Yisrael will be rebuilt, and Torah will return to Klal Yisrael, and Yisrael will be Nigolin, that Klal Yisrael will be redeemed, B'shus HaTzedakah, and the Shus of Tzedakah, as it states, Tzion B'mishpat Tifot Tifteh V'shaviyah B'tzedakah. The Tzion B'mishpat Tifodeh V'shviyah B'tzedakah, Tzion will be redeemed through justice and returned to their lands in the Shus of Tzedakah.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.